إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of sense of belonging to the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and we talked about many things. And the last one we talked about was what destroys this sense of belonging, which is ghibat, is to bad talk somebody, is to backbite somebody. That is what is the worst of the things to do. Today I want to remind myself and you about the opposite of that, which is what is the best thing that we can do. Something which builds the ummah, something which repairs the gaps. If there is any damage, then something that repairs that, and that is forgiveness. That is forgiveness, to forgive each other. We know about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, and we ask and seek and beseech and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned His forgiveness in His kalam in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. As I have mentioned this many times about this ayah, and I love to say this again and again, because it is such a beautiful reminder and it is such a beautiful ayah. See how it even begins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, say to whom? Not to the good people. Say to the people who have committed sins. Yeah? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying say to those who have committed sins among the Muslims. He's saying say to them, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي أَلَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to them, O my slaves. Now just look at the way of address itself. Allah is not even saying say to those who committed sins. Say, my slaves who have committed sins. Our normal tendency with somebody who transgresses, somebody who disobeys, somebody who rebels, somebody who goes against our wishes, is to chase them away, send them off. You are not mine. Jokingly sometimes we see this in parents. When the child does something good, the father or the mother will say, Dekhe mera beta kaisa kara? See how my son did something. And if he does something bad, then the father or the mother will say, Dekhe tumhara beta kaisa kara? Did you see what your son did? And also, this is said humorously, but my point is that even there, what we do, we like those who are good to us, we like those who obey us, and we speak about them or speak to them in terms which are endearing and which bring them close. And those who go against us, against our will, disobey and so on and so forth, we chase them away. Don't see me. I don't want to see your face. Go away. Get out. And the worst case is when you, even parents who will send their children away and say, you are not my child anymore. Nauzubillah, may Allah protect us from this. So the point I'm making is that this is our tendency. But see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you grade, first of all, if you look at this, how do you grade a sin, or how do you grade, you know, something bad that is done? One is somebody who is a stranger. I'll give you a couple of scenarios. Say, for example, a thief comes and steals from you. Right, comes into your house, he steals from you, or somebody, stranger, abuses you or something. Obviously, you get angry and so on and so forth. you feel bad about it. But if the same thing is done by somebody who is close to you, somebody who is close to you, who you trusted, do you treat the thing the same way? Obviously not. Breaking of trust means what? Means that there was trust to begin with. And how does trust build? Trust builds by mutual interaction. You get something from a person, you give something to a person, that's how trust builds. Now if somebody who you trusted betrays that trust, that is seen as a far more serious crime than the same deed done by somebody who you did not know, some stranger. Now see the trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at what we are today, and this applies to irrespective of what condition anyone might be in. If you see where we are today, where did we come from? Every single thing that we have today is minallah ta'ala. And this is not I'm not saying this out of formality or some, you know, modesty. This is the actual reality. Whether anyone accepts it or doesn't accept it does not change the reality. Every single thing that we have today is minallah ta'ala. But you might say, well, you know, even if somebody is not well, you say, oh, my illness is also from Allah. Of course it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a blessing. That illness, that cancer, I'm deliberately taking the names of serious stuff. That cancer, that Alzheimer's is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might say, how is the cancer a blessing? The cancer is a blessing because now that you have the cancer, every single dua that you make is inshallah al-musta'an, definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as that are made by a person who is in pain, from a person who is suffering. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, if a thorn pricks you, Allah will forgive a sin because of that. A thorn pricks you. So what about cancer? How is Alzheimer's a blessing? Because for somebody who has Alzheimer's, the pen is lifted. There is no more recording of deeds. So what happens to that person? Whatever that person did until that point in time, all the good that the person did until that point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the same good to be continued to be written in his account till the day he dies. So somebody used to pray regularly in the masjid and so on. Today he cannot come because he's got Alzheimer's, he's got some other ailment, illness, he's weak, he's whatever. He's not able to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him five times salat in the masjid by jama'ah until the day he dies, even though he might be spending his whole life on the bed. Now, I'm not saying we ask for these things. We do not ask for these things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe and in good and healthy condition and to take us with iman in good health, inshallah. But I'm saying even the things which we normally tend to see as problems, as, you know, musibat, as serious problems, even these things are things which are actually blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I still remember a conversation I had with one of my friends from Bosnia, who after the Bosnian, you know, massacres and so on, with literally thousands of Muslims were slaughtered and killed and so on. This person tells me, he says, you know, Shaykh, this was a blessing for us. So I said, wallah, ajeeb, how is it a blessing? You got thousands of people just got killed, they were just taken away and shot by the Serbs, right, in Bosnia. He said, how was it a blessing? He said, because we were so far from Islam, it is not funny. He said, we all drank alcohol, our names were changed, we married anywhere, we did anything. There was no distinguishing feature between us and the non-Muslims except that we had Muslim names. That's it. He said, we never prayed, we never saw the inside of a mosque, nothing. He said, but when we died with La ilaha illallah. So inshallah al-musta'an, every single one of those Bosnians who was killed is shaheed fi sabilillah, he is in Jannah inshallah. And he said if he had died a normal death, he would probably have been in Jahannam because the kind of life he was leading was not going anywhere. Now, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we don't ask for this. Wallahi, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from all kinds of harm. But when something comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we owe everything to Him, and all of what He does, biyadihil khair, in His hand is khair. And therefore, if somebody betrays that by going against the will of Allah, by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by standing in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by committing shirk, by committing kufr, by committing all kinds of major sins, this person is somebody who in reality and justifiably Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should say, now get out. I don't want you. You are not my slave. Allah is not saying that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically saying, Ya ibadi, O my slaves. Who? الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ Those who have transgressed against themselves, because our sins harm only us. Our sins do not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what? لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I have said many times before, this ayat was complete here. There was no need for anything else. My Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu has no limit to His mercy. Allah, alhamdulillah. So what does he say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الزُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. The ayat could have been completed here. There was no need for anything else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Verily and truly, He is the one who is غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. This is Allah. And then in the Hadith Qudsi from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, O son of Adam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you for what you have done. And I will not mind. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky? Not one or two sins. Completely covers the earth and goes up. Earth is not enough, so it piles up till the clouds of the sky. And were you then to ask forgiveness of me after committing all these sins? He's making tawbah. I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and were you then to face me, ascribing no partner to me, I would bring you forgiveness as great as that. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, inshallah al-Mustaan, we will talk about this as we go forward. I want to just mention one instance from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then for today we will end this. The Battle of Uhud. The tide of the battle turned, as we know. I don't want to go into the history of all that. And then what happened was that one of the worst of the enemies of Islam and of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he threw a stone using a slingshot or wallah alam somehow, which he threw a stone at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. He attacked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. He threw the stone, and bismillah ta'ala, the stone struck Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the face, you know, on his forehead, and here on his cheek, and it struck him with such force that the chain mail he was wearing, that piece of the chain mail itself went into his blessed face, cut his face, cut his cheek, went into the jaw, broke his tooth, and because of the facial bleeding, there was profuse bleeding, and because of the shock of this hit, Rasulullah ﷺ almost lost consciousness. He did not completely lose consciousness, but he was in a daze. Then all of whatever else happened, again, I don't want to go into the details. Fatima radhiyallahu anha came and she dressed him and all of this. Now, point is, when that happened, Sayyidina Umar and other people, they said to him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua against these people. He said, make dua. They said, this is the limit. Right? We have a fight, we are fighting. But this man attacks you. Right? This is the Nabi of Allah, Allah. And he said, you have never done anything to harm them. You are innocent. And the man attacks you. He said, Ya Rasulullah, the time has come. Make dua against these people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands. Imagine the state of the Sahaba. They are not just, angry and sad and upset about the defeat. They are, one cannot even imagine or describe what must have been the state of their heart, seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that condition, completely covered with blood and injured and, in this situation. They said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua against these people. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands. Now, what must be the state of the universe? Wallahu alam. We don't know the ghaib. What must the malaika be thinking? What is the Nabi going to say now? He's going to make dua. And then the dua of the Nabi is not written. If he makes dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. Khalas. So the Quraysh are on a knife edge, one step from complete destruction. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. What dua does he make? He said, Oh Allah, forgive them. He said, Oh Allah, forgive them. For they do not know what they do. Ajib. Oh Allah, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Wa sallallahu ala Nabiyil Kareem wa ala Alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya Rabbal Alamin.